Welcome to Tucson's Future, brought to you by The Nova Home Loans. My name is Edmund Marquez. I'm happy to be your host here today. Each episode, we sit down with leaders and innovators shaping what's next for Southern Arizona. So glad you're here. From big economic projects to the people driving our region forward, like Heath here. Thanks for joining us as we explore the ideas and opportunities building Tucson's future. Today, I'm excited to welcome Pima County Economic Development Director Heath Vescovi-Chiordi. And then they clap.
It's a mouthful.
That's a big deal. I'm just glad I got through your name.
It's excellent,
super excited
honestly.
About this. I've known you for years.
Yes, sir.
You are super impactful. I will tell you, as a Tucson boy through and through, I'm so thankful you're in your position.
Thank you.
If you can just tell people from a mile high view what you do. First of all, tell us about you. What high school did you go to?
So I went to high school in Scottsdale. So don't judge me too hard.
Good for you.
Yeah, it was a college prep school.
Oh my God, you're a nerd.
It was a small college prep school called Foothills Academy, actually.
This is why you're 25 and you're running the county.
Exactly. Yes.
I got you.
I will maintain I am 25 years old. But it was a really small school, actually. So 300 kids in the whole thing, right? So my senior class was like 12 to 13 people.
Were you top of your class?
I was top third of my class.
Oh, good for you. You're 8th out of 12. Good
exactly,
for you.
Yeah, super high echelon, you know? But it was excellent because you had
running our county now.
Yeah.
All right.
You had 300 people, though, that you knew every single day. That was great. Compared to the other high schools in the region, there were 2,000, 2,500 kids. You know, this was a little bit different. So it was a lot of fun.
And where'd you go to college?
I went to college at the University of Arizona.
Okay, thank the Lord. Okay.
Went there twice, undergrad and graduate school.
Oh, good for you.
Yes.
Okay, and so pathway to where you are today, how do you run economic development for the county?
Yeah, pretty quick on that one. So I did an internship for the town of Marana, actually right after I graduated from my MPA program at the University of Arizona. And then effectively from that internship, got hired in Marana. I worked there for about 9 years, I think it was. And I
remember you coming from Marana.
Yeah, I did a little bit of everything there. It was an excellent proving ground, right? Because it was smaller. It is smaller from a government perspective, 300-ish, 400 employees now probably. Did economic development, community development, workforce development stuff. I was the designated public lobbyist for a minute. Basically did everything except be a judge or a police officer. I ran their airport for 2 years, which was so much fun.
Yeah.
And that varied experience in government allowed me to figure out how government structure works just from the inside out and get acquainted with it. And then there was a retirement in the department at Pima County. And I really love economic development. So I applied for the job. And
who was the retiree?
That was Dr. John Moffitt.
It was John Moffitt.
Yes.
The John Moffitt. You took a pretty big seat there.
They're pretty big shoes to fill.
Yeah, amen.
Yes.
So mile high view for everyone. What are some of the major projects you work on?
Sure. So we do a lot, honestly. And in this job specifically, economic development, the definition of it has really expanded for me.
Mm-hmm.
So the county is a very large organization. We have a lot of different departments that do a lot of different stuff. And so we're getting kind of linked into things where we never thought we would before. Public health programming. We work a lot with our public health department, obviously with workforce development, transportation. You know, we look at infrastructure planning, land management, all those different things. So for us specifically, we own and operate and maintain a couple thousand acres of land for economic development. We create economic development programs. We consult on workforce development programs and things like that based off of need. We're in the process of looking at creating incentives. We just did 2 new policies for the Board of Supervisors at their request for economic development. Anything you throw at us, we're going to end up doing. We also do on the economic development side, attraction of new companies, retention and expansion of existing ones. We are in the business of creating jobs and we're in the business of facilitating workforce development and targeted infrastructure development to facilitate more investment in the community.
So to keep with the mile high view and to not throw any zingers,
sure,
because I could throw some zingers, which are not towards the county.
Let's have some fun.
No, I'm going to tell the viewer, you know, so I'm on the Rio Nuevo board. I'm born and raised here. I'm very thankful for the county. Jan Lesher, champion. Like, we are so lucky. I think, and I'm past chairman of the chamber, there are times in which we are frustrated with our own city of Tucson.
Mm.
And so I think without the county, we'd be in trouble.
Sure.
Because you tend to have, I keep thinking about Rex Scott,
mm-hmm.
who's on your board of supervisors, who's just so forward thinking. We as a community need to continue to say yes to opportunities. And Pima County and Heath here are a big part of that yes. I think a lot of times, and if you're a realtor, you're doing mortgages out there and you're watching this and you're thinking, where are we headed, right? From a real estate perspective, an economic perspective, we're competing against other cities. We're competing against Scottsdale, Phoenix, Tempe, Marana, right? And if we're not saying yes, if we're literally saying no, we're not even establishing a value proposition and an ask for an organization or a company or a sports team to come here, right? And so thank you for the county. So on that little preaching moment, where are we headed? Like, I'm going to selfishly ask questions today because I want to know where are we headed? Give me the good news. Because I got to tell you, I came back this summer from being away, and we had just voted down Project Blue, which you all approved. Mm-hmm. We just renewed the free bus fare, which I understand the premise of it, but it seems to have backfired in many ways from the quality of life perspective for a lot of Tucsonans. And so I felt an exasperated feeling when I came back to Tucson. People were exasperated, like, what the hell? Mm-hmm. We love this place so much. Can we please move forward, right? Can we please do what's best for our quality of life and our families and our economy, right?
Right.
Please tell me, where's the county going? Give me some rosy sunshine.
Yeah. So I think for what it's worth, right, everybody has their role, right, to play in all of this stuff, right? So the county has a role, the city has a role, the surrounding municipalities have a role, even unincorporated jurisdictions have a role, right? So it's interesting. The value proposition of our region is made up of all of those individual roles and the assets that they lean into, right? And there's a political element to it to a certain extent. Mm-hmm. We're all kind of guided by politics and stuff. The vast majority of the work that I do is guided by Board of Supervisors policy. Our economic development strategic plan is a policy approved by them. So we lean into that policy every single day. The positive thing that we're looking at, and this is just across the board from a countywide perspective, all the incorporated and unincorporated jurisdictions, is that we all have the same end goal in mind. We do want to be economically prosperous. We want to have good roads. We want to have all the things that we think about every single day, the baseline services, right, that we offer. And I can tell you on the county side, with leadership of Jan Lesher and Carmine DeBonis and Steve Holmes.
They're great.
And the Board of Supervisors and the policies that we're seeing come out of them balanced in their priorities. We're investing in everything, right? So we're investing in housing, we're investing in economic development, we're investing in workforce development, we're investing in sports and tourism, and all of these things really coalesce to create that vision and that kind of identity that we have in the region. And I can say this specifically, the county as an organization is excellent. We have very good feedback in the community. And we're getting to be much better known in the economic development spheres with those people that are making decisions like site selectors. I just went to Taiwan for 8 days to talk with semiconductor companies and all the adjacent companies that come with them, the site selectors that are there, and they had heard of us. And that's
in
awesome.
A good way?
In a good way.
Okay.
And that's checking. The thing. We always lean into the positive. And if there are negative connotations or concepts or anything, we address them in a way that is appropriate, right? And it's through facts, it's through process, it's through them understanding a little bit more about what we deal with and how we deal with those things.
So absolutely selfish question, not meaning it to be a zinger. Is that typical of a county? Because I think about like Maricopa County or some of the Yavapai County, Santa Cruz. You hear about the counties, and the counties are kind of in the background.
Yeah,
it seems in this area, maybe because I'm really involved in our community, it seems so through some of the dysfunction of some of the politics here from an economic perspective, that the county, especially when it started with Chuck Huckleberry and has gone to Jan Lesher, has become more and more influential, and I will say powerful, because it's needed to offset some of the decision making we've done.
Sure.
Right? Do you see that? Is this atypical of a county?
No, I don't think so. I think in many instances, as I mentioned before, everybody has a role, right? I think we're really leaning into our role a little bit more and kind of flexing a little bit more, right? And it's not necessarily to be antithetical to what any other municipality is doing.
Sure, but it's needed.
Right. It's needed, but it's also, I will say this, the underlying component for the county and the leadership there is to be complementary or to assist or to supplement, right? That's always been the thing. In instances where we take a leadership role, we assume that role very well, but we also know when not to do that because we understand that there are support roles and there are lead roles, right? So I think in that instance, what we're talking about is the identity of the county I think becoming a little bit better known in many instances because we are, again, leaning into those things and taking much more initiative, which is very, very cool. We've got a balanced board. I feel there's a lot of even keeled discussion that happens. Sometimes, you know, those things happen where it's a little bit heated on one side or the other. Those things are going to be normal. But really, I think we've leaned into it very well. And we're not necessarily playing like identity politics or anything like that. The undercurrent is what is best for the region, what is best for our constituents.
So from the business world, we say the greater good perspective.
Yes.
And you're playing in the greater good. So interesting little story, and you can give me your opinion. So when I chaired the chamber, we were in the midst of a rebuild, and when I became chairman, at the same time we hired our CEO, Michael Guyman. Mm-hmm. And as Michael Guyman came in, we got to redesign. We got to basically tear apart the chamber, put it back together, make it more efficient.
Right.
And we used to call it the tip of the spear. Because I think, my opinion in this community, I believe we are really good at having conversations.
Yeah.
Conversations. We're great at getting in a room. We brainstorm. We think. We bring our brightest together. Mm-hmm. And then we all break huddle. We all leave. And then nothing happens.
Right.
We all go back to our jobs. And then we're you know, just not as impactful. So with Michael Guyman and I, we had a saying. And I believe the county is doing it. So I would see the business organizations sometimes sit in a room, discuss it. Mm-hmm. Not sure if they wanted to upset anybody politically. Or,
sure.
That's not greater good, right? So Michael and I used to say, you know, we lead. Mm-hmm. We step forward. Everybody else can stand back and have a conversation. We take the step forward and we lead.
Right.
I see the county doing that. Mm-hmm. What's your perspective on that?
I think that's an accurate assessment, to be perfectly honest. And again, we're going to take the lead in areas where we know we can and we should, right? We do have a certain amount of, you know, you used the term power before, but like talk about influence, right? Or the ability to kind of move and shift things in a way. And that's for various reasons, right? I mean, we have budget capacity, we have the intelligent kind of administration of that budget. We also have the policy prioritization of how that budget is implemented, right? We're also not shying away from the idea of like economic development as a revenue generator for the county. In some instances, we can, you know, talk about a couple of projects, but with like American Battery Factory as an example, it was approved quite some time ago. They're going through a lot of different things right now because a lot of turbulence at the federal level and things shifting and changing. But we talk about what the end goal of that is, right? Which is jobs, it's economic impact, it's the transaction of land, which is a one-time infusion of dollars into the general fund that allows them to allocate that money towards priorities and be the tip of the spear on many things. And it's also long-term lease, right? Where we're generating revenue over time too. And so we look at those opportunities and intelligently, not just blanket, we're going to do economic development and we're just going to do whatever we want. It's intelligent design about where things are going, where we're placing them, what land is used for economic development, what land is not, and how we balance economic development with housing and the other priorities, right? That are, I think, of key component interest to everybody here. So it's the, I got to say, it's kind of like democracy at work in an interesting way, because that board has healthy discussions and they come to confluence or they don't. And if they don't, you'll see it come back again in some type of fashion where they can come to a confluence. And I think that's the other thing, is that it's iterative in nature. We don't think we're just always going to get it 100% right the first time. We, like any individual, know that we have to grow and get better with all these decisions that we're making.
Yeah. Well, just listening to you, one of the things that I appreciate about the Board of Supervisors is the conversation that they have. Mm-hmm. I like that it's a spectrum.
Yes.
I like that you have liberal individuals, mm-hmm. you have moderate individuals that keep hitting the microphone, and I like that you have, well, you have one conservative, right? Right. But it's a blend of a conversation. If I look at our city council, which is just Democrat, I don't want all Democrats. I don't want all Republicans.
Sure.
I want people to have a good, healthy conversation so we can have the greater good perspective and we can move forward with this community.
Yeah.
So different than Maricopa County, I don't know if I'm going down a rabbit hole too much here, but
let's do it.
Maricopa County, I believe, has sales tax.
I believe so.
They collect a sales tax, and we do not collect a sales tax at the county. You are just driven by property tax and property tax valuations.
Primarily, yeah.
Handicap, any thoughts of a sales tax?
No, well, not from my perspective, honestly. I've never seen it as a handicap. I think that we're doing really well with what revenue sources we have, to be perfectly honest. I know those things shift, right? There are new valuations and there can be increases, decreases, all that kind of stuff. But again, I don't necessarily think we have to have more forms of revenue that are I don't know, kind of maybe putting the burden on a taxpayer as an example. It's actually just intelligent stewardship of the resources that we have. And I think this is what I've seen in my 3.5 years at the county, is that there's judicious management of money. Our finance department is to a T, just absolutely, they execute everything very, very technically and accurately, right? There's very, very good management there. And I think that if we continue to do that, the way that things are shifting from an economic standpoint, from any standpoint, what revenue we make will make the best of that revenue. I don't think we need to seek out new specific pieces of revenue at this moment in time. But also, that's a larger discussion for the likes of Carmine and Steve and Jan to have with the board to see if that really is the case, because some of these things might be so intense or so difficult to bear the brunt of all at once because of shifting things at the federal level with dollars that we receive and might not receive in the future. So sometimes we might take a hit and we have to kind of take a step back, figure out how to fill that gap, and then identify what the path is moving forward, right? Just like anybody, right? If something happens to you financially as an individual, you cut back, you change things, you shift, you reallocate, and then you figure out, oh, okay, I do need a new source of revenue. I'm getting an Uber job and I'm driving on the weekends, kind of thing.
Yeah. So for you viewers, I'll take it mile high for you. So Jan Lesher runs the county. She's our county administrator.
Correct.
And then you used to have three underneath her. Now you have two. You have Carmine, you have Steve.
Yes.
I will tell you from a business perspective, whether I sit down with them on behalf of the chamber or Southern Arizona Leadership Council, they're very level-headed to work with. Mm-hmm. They're very intelligent. They do have that greater good perspective. They have a can-do attitude, which has been fantastic. So part of the reason why we're doing this podcast is we want you, the viewer, to have reasons to brag about your community, about us, about what's happening here, right? I will tell you, even if you're listening to Heath or from my perspective, working with Heath, we're healthy. The county's healthy. The county is in great shape financially. They're fiscally responsible. They have dollars to invest. They're not, you know, like when you hang out with your broke friend, it's not a broke friend. Like ours, our buddy that has money, he's from Scottsdale. I mean, there's lots of money happening here, right?
So, I used to be the broke friend. I just want to throw that out.
Well, now
there.
You got a big county job, so you're doing good. You're a good government. So for as we semi wrap up here, give us for the viewer, tell us what we can brag about from what's happening right now and what's coming. Like, what can we be excited about that as they have somebody looking at a house, et cetera,
yeah,
they can say, man, I heard Heath and you got to hear what's coming.
Well, I think a couple of things. So in general, big things are coming. We see a lot of movement in a lot of different ways. So we were talking about sports earlier. So much is happening in the sports industry here. It is phenomenal. So there are awesome things to do. And when people are moving here, they want things to do. And that is something that we're really on the come up of. And from my understanding, that's been years in the making, right? Before I was even a thought in anybody's, you know. And so it's so cool to see that come to fruition so recently in my tenure at the county, but also to hear about how long it's taken, right? And so—
Yeah. Can we drill on that for a second? Yeah. I'll give the political version.
Sure.
One of the biggest mistakes we've made in my lifetime since I've been a Tucsonan is we should have built Keno Stadium downtown. Mm. If you look at like the baseball team that was there, which was legendary, the Tucson Toros, the Sidewinders, left us, became the Chihuahuas in— El Paso built their stadium downtown, brought our baseball team there, and has organically boosted their economy to the point where their downtown's hopping now. We built ours on Keno, and we've been reacting to that ever since. But finally, to Heath's point, we're finally getting traction. Let me go. I got to take care of downtown for a second. You have the Tucson Roadrunners here, mm-hmm. which is our hockey team that used to feed into the
NHL.
Yeah, NHL, yeah. Which does not anymore. And then I will say even more importantly, you have the Tucson Sugar Skulls, which is the indoor football league, the IFL. Super exciting games at the Tucson Convention Center during the summer, air conditioned. Now you go out to the Keno Center, where the Sugar Skulls practice, by the way, and you've got Mexican
baseball fiesta.
And Mexican baseball fiesta plus the Mexican Major League Baseball team that's coming here. And if you look at there's Major League Baseball, that's the top. And then you have two side-by-side second tier, major league, leagues. One is the Japanese Major League Baseball. And then you've got Mexican Winter Baseball. And we literally have a Mexican Winter League from Mexico
yeah.
baseball team playing here thanks to the county, right? Because you guys negotiated a great deal. You also have FC Tucson, and then you have Mosaic Quarter.
Yep.
Which doesn't happen without the county.
Correct.
That's the Frank Knott's. So tell us about that.
And I'll just say, you know, it doesn't happen without the county. You can say that, but it doesn't happen without the actual partnership among everybody involved.
True. But right? If there's no welcome committee when they get here and saying we'll help you, then just go somewhere else.
It's inevitable that you need government buy-in, right? You need government, private, academia, all the big ones that we always talk about. That is a requirement, hands down. So that goes to your point earlier about leaning into things and looking forward. I think the other thing is kind of a comment is that we're consistent and we're dedicated. I mean, these things have been in the works for decades in some instances. And so to see them finally coming to fruition, I think sends a message that we know what we're doing, albeit it takes some time a little bit, but also to the community, good things do take time, right? So if there's something you want now, or you wanted it 5 years ago, but we hadn't really addressed it, or there's, you know, something not happening in your eyes, tell us, right? That way we can reevaluate it and make sure we're putting that concerted effort towards it. I will say this, what's happening at Keno is spectacular. There are going to be amazing spin-off benefits for economic development there too, as a practice. Number one, the relationship with Mexico continues to grow because of exactly what you just talked about. Sports is the great unifier and the great divider at the same time, but we all love it. We love that rivalry and everything. But the idea that that's happening here allows us an additional entry point into Mexico, which will allow us an ideal opportunity to talk with business owners there, talk with additional investments, and see if there's a way that we can connect now the business industry specifically as a result of the tourism industry really taking a lead and hitting a home run and getting them to come here. So we're excited for all the spinoff benefits of that. That's going to be spectacular. That's something I'm very much looking forward to.
Yeah. So if you're watching this, pride-wise, we cannot have any more teams leave Tucson. We need Tucson to support our teams, whether it's filling UVA Stadium during the football games, who they're 3-0 right now. Mm-hmm. I don't know if they're hopefully 4-0 by the time this thing airs. Tucson Sugar Skulls, Arizona basketball, Mexican baseball, FC Tucson, all the different leagues that are coming here. From Rio Nuevo, we're getting, you've probably seen it too, I'll just say it on this, we're getting approached for a rugby national championship coming here.
Interesting.
The 5-on-5 flag football related to the NFL having a championship here.
Cool.
There, we as Rio Nuevo, even though it's Keno and not downtown, we're investing in the marketing there so we can simply drive people. I mean, Keno doesn't have the hotels yet and the restaurants yet. So we are advertising with these teams to support them, make sure they survive, and to bring that traffic downtown, which has been fantastic.
I think the way to keep any baseball team here is to have Michael Guymon as the announcer at any of those games.
That'd be great.
I think that would be an excellent move. So Sarah, it's in your, you know, office now to make that a reality for Amen. Mr. Guymon.
Amen. Well, thank you very much for being here. I know that you're a busy guy. That's it for our episode of Tucson's Future presented by the Nova Home Loans. I am Edmund Marquez. This is Heath Vovd. I screwed it up.
Good enough.
Heath. Damn it. Heath from the county. If the teleprompter will move, I'll have his name towards the bottom. But thank you very much for watching. It's been fantastic. Thank you for everything you guys are doing at the county.
It's our pleasure, man.
Yeah, we need you. We literally need you.
We say one Pima County, man. It's true.
Amen. Thank you for watching.